in a New York state of mind. Just you up in my love, all over your body. Hey now, don't dream it's over. That's how to keep you. We're gonna turn and work and turn. And hop, hop, honey.
Welcome to episode 68 of High School Free Chat Podcast. At least I think it's episode 68. Mitch just did not ask him, so I have no idea. After 70 or 75, I'm just going to stop counting because we have too many episodes. But anyway.
Free chat continued.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome to the show. A new episode of Glee just finished airing on the East Coast and on illegal streams. And joining me on Glee Chat is Natalie Fisher. Hey, Nat.
Hi, how are you?
Do you like when people call you Nat? I'm great, thanks. What about the word Nat? Do you like that?
I'm good. Let's talk about Nat. It's okay. It's weird because... I have another really close friend called Natalie, and she is, in her head, she's Nat. Like, it's not like, oh, we met so long ago that it doesn't matter, but I know to her, she thinks of herself as Nat, and she kind of is weirded out when, like, people at work use her full name, and she, like, really regrets not introducing herself as Nat. Whereas I never think of myself as Nat. People always shorten it, and I don't care at all. And, of course, I respond to it mentally. I think my name is Natalie, if you know what I mean, whereas she mentally thinks her name. Like, I don't know if Mitch thinks in his head of himself as Mitch or Mitchell, if you know what I mean.
I think of myself as both. Yeah. People often ask me that. I'm just like, I don't know. I never really, like, sat down and thought about it. It just kind of happens. It's not, like, either, like, it's, like, more formal to call me Mitchell, but when people want to, like, scold me or something, they definitely call me Mitchell to be more formal with me. But in general,
and
like,
people,
I've had friends...
You mean your parents.
I've had my parents generally, like, I've had my parents yell at me in both names, you know, so I don't know. I feel like Mitchell just gives it one extra little touch, you know, the je ne sais quoi.
Okay,
interesting. I 100% don't mind that people call me Nat all the time. It's not I'd prefer you call me Natalie. I just don't mentally shorten it myself, if you know what I mean.
Roxanne really hates when people call her Roxy. So
I cannot call her Roxy. She gets so angry.
Yeah. Right. So, Mitch, you're on the show. Hey, obviously.
Okay.
what's new in California? I would go back and listen to old episodes of Glee Chat, and I'd ask about the weather, and it just sounded so amateur. But I do want to know what the weather's like, because it's so freezing cold here in New York already, but you're now in California hanging out with Roxanne all the time. What do you guys do on your free time?
Well, funny thing, we go to Disney.
Yeah, I figured.
Do you just, like, live there? Do you have the annual pass or something? I thought they stopped doing the annual pass.
Oh God, they would never stop doing that.
I heard they were stopping some aspect of it. But anyway,
I'm going tomorrow. I do live at Disney. that's for real.
Do you have an annual pass?
Oh yeah, like I would have probably spent at least let's say $5,000 worth of tickets if I didn't buy the annual pass at this point.
So expensive compared to, like, how much is the pass? It's like $400 or less.
Somewhere like $500. I don't know. I don't remember anymore.
And it's just like, and one entry is like $70. Like, it's so insane. Like,
yeah, and I just go there to, like, hang out and enjoy, like, the warm sun, and it sucks that it's not matching up with the sun. The way it's setting, because it sets at, like, you know, I don't know what, John, like 5.
Yeah.
And it's weird because I expect it to be colder for that type of sunrise and sunset. So to me, it's like my brain's off kilter. It doesn't really know how to, like, process that. So that's like a first world problem, if anything, of living in California. Other than that, the weather is like...
That the sky doesn't match the temperature.
The sky doesn't match. Yes, exactly.
Sunset. Does anyone
stop
know
singing Fiddler on the Roof?
it's so funny you mentioned that, Mitch, about the sunset, because my friend was, like, cracking up earlier tonight. I got dinner, and I was like, I'm really offended that the sun sets at 4:30 in the evening and, like, an hour after I've had lunch. It's so ridiculous. Like, I'm so affected by, like, good weather that it just really annoys me that I get out of work at 6 o'clock and it's, like, freezing cold and dark already.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Mitch, I wanted to ask you really quick about your little annual pass thing. So you're saying that you would go, because you said if you didn't have it, you'd spend $5,000 a year. But so do you you don't alter your habits based on what kind you have. Like, you would still go however many times you would, even if you didn't have the annual pass.
No, I do. So here's the thing. Like, in Orange County, you will buy a Disney annual pass if you have enough money for it to save yourself money. Because, anything entertainment in here or... anything entertainment is either really far away in traffic or extremely expensive, so you'll spend that one flat rate to just go right to Anaheim, which is not on a highway for people in the OC.
That's what I'm asking you. So are you saying that if you didn't pay that flat rate for whatever reason, say, like, it wasn't
would
offered...
Would you be going that often if you knew
you
had to pay
for because I go there to waste time. Okay. Like, I go there just to hang out and, like, you know...
They go there to eat. They go there to eat dinner.
Like, I go there for Starbucks. That's it.
Roxanne told me when I first met her, she's like, oh, yeah, we go there to eat all the time because they have really good restaurants in, like, the New Orleans Square and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, she loves that. I had to go there with her.
And I'm like, you don't just go to Disneyland for dinner. What is your life? Like,
but doesn't that kind of spoil the whole magic of it if you're just, like, going there for dinner every night?
Oh, yeah, totally. But it creates a whole new magic for it. I sound like I'm being, like, a spokesperson for Disney. I really do. It creates a whole new magic. Well, see, the thing is, like, if you want to talk about ruining magic at all, I'm now dating a guy that works at Disney, so I can't even go to Disney and enjoy it with him, because he's always, like, sitting and talking to, like... Well, he gets too critical, and he gets into work mode when he's there, and also, he's just, like, talking to all the cast members all around and stuff, and I just, like...
Is he a face character? Like, what does he do? You don't have to tell exactly, but does he wear a costume? Does he, like, serve in a shop? Or does he, like, is he, like, a Peter Pan? Like...
No, he's not... I just love that, like, Peter Pan was the example you thought of.
Dating Peter Pan.
Because, like, Peter Pan to me...
Well, maybe he's dating a Dapper Dan.
Apparently, Natalie, you don't know my type in guys, because a guy that would play Peter Pan is probably about 5'2".
Yeah, I actually know what he looks like, because I remember the videos people would post of him.
Yeah,
like,
Peter Pan's extremely short. No, but... No, I'm not afraid to say where my boyfriend works, whatever. He does the trams, so he's not like...
He drives the train!
Oh, yeah, he drives, like, the train, like, back and forth.
Oh,
in the
I love the
structure.
Train!
Yeah, if he doesn't... I'll tell him to listen to this just so he can, like, have his 15 minutes of fame. He's gonna love it. But, no, for real, it's really hard going to Disney now. It's because, I go there, but I get the critiques of it, and I get, like, into a work mode with him, and the magic is only when I go with other people. Like, I can't go to Disney with the guy I'm dating, and I can get it
for
free with
him. I remember whenever... The last time we spoke about Disney, I think, Natalie, you and I definitely teamed up. And I had this whole thing where I'm like, I love magic. I'm, you know, Harry Potter. I love magic. I love the whole thing. But I just really cannot subscribe to, like, animatronic things.
Yeah.
You know, like, robots waving at you and, like, pretending it's real. Like, I cannot wrap my head around
that. Though, so. I will tell you, there is a little bit of, like, Disney being, like, if you kind of... I'm not going to say, like, if you're smart and dumb, people don't realize it, but if you're a very, like, perceptive, like, an overthinking kind of person, even if you don't go to Disney often, you kind of, like, while you're enjoying it, you also see exactly the way they've crafted it to force you to enjoy it, if you know what I mean? Like, different, like, the way that they, like, won't let, like, certain bits of music, like, pipe through to, like, the next, like, land, and, like, it's really constructed. And the annoying thing is, even though you know it's really constructed, it still bloody works. And it's really frustrating that it still
it's absolutely
you, even though you know
insane.
Exactly how it's doing. But,
right.
I will tell you the hottest guys in Disneyland, you know, Mitch's boyfriend aside.
Yes,
the guys that run, it's the guys that drive Jungle Cruise, which is
oh, my God, yes. No, okay,
so
I have to tell you this, Natalie. Jungle Cruise is the most coveted
ride ever. But
well, it's the best ride ever, but it's also the most coveted spot to be in, because you get to be, like, a comedian the whole time. Yeah, and people love, apparently, they strive to go there. Everyone I've talked to that works at Disney is like, I want to be on Jungle Cruise.
Why?
Well, I mean, like, for exactly what you're saying. Like, everyone thinks you're hot, because you're in, like, this, you know, sexy safari costume. Like, look at today's episode of Glee. They were in those, like, they had Artie, and he was the only one in the safari costume, and he was pretty sexy.
They're just so hot and, like, so suave. And if you get a Jungle Cruise, it's the stupidest ride ever, because it's just, like, fake animals. But
it scares
if
me.
You get a, if you get
wait
a
minute.
If you're all adults and you get a good host, they just spend the entire ride, like, taking the piss. Like, they mess around and, like, say stupid, naughty things.
Wait a minute. So the Jungle Cruise isn't even real animals?
You thought it was really animals.
No.
Oh, my God.
John, you've never been to Disney.
I'm not ever going to Disneyland.
You've never been to Disneyland or World? Either one?
Disney World.
Yes, but I went to Animal Kingdom that has, like, real animals in it.
No, that's, like, that's not Jungle Cruise. That's, like...
It's Disney. Is the naffest, stupidest, most pathetic... That you just get on this boat and you ride it around in a circle and it's like a safari where you view fake animals. They're robots. They like do movements and stuff.
Okay, Natalie.
Guys who run it are so funny and so hot that they make it really, really funny.
No, but legitimately,
anyway,
okay.
Oh my God.
The piranhas?
I'll take it to.
The piranhas. Do you know what I'm talking about? Those piranhas.
Yeah.
They jump at you and they scare me every time because, like. I don't know, like, I think that the reactions of the little kids
robot
around me getting
piranhas.
Scared is infectious. And these piranhas, like, they're on, like, a circular track. Like, they're on a circle, and they just keep on, like, going in and out of the water on a circle. It was, like, you know, surfacing.
No.
And it's so lame, but every time it scares me. It's horrifying, because they make, like, a little sound.
That is sad.
Oh, my God, I can't handle robot piranhas.
It's so bad. John,
I mean, John, they don't move. They literally, they're on, like, a wheel. They spin out of the water.
It's like spokes of a wheel.
Yeah, you can see the spokes that they're on.
Oh my God, no.
And it always scares me. And it always terrifies me.
Oh my God.
I do not know
one last
why
thing about...
they do not update them, but there must be something that people like about it, because maybe dudes, maybe they, you know.
It's probably something like it's one of those classic rides.
Yeah. Right.
This is a place that's $70 a pop to get into. I remember last year in 2012 when I went to LA for the first time, I stayed with Andrew Sims, and he was like, "Do you want to go to Disneyland?" And I was like, "Yeah, but I don't really want to pay like $100 to go see, you know, robot piranhas." So we ended up not going, but I kind of regret it because I think it's one of those things like everyone has to go to.
Do the live shows, like as like a Disney native, as someone who like lives and thrives in their streets. I think that the best thing that you're going to do is sit through and watch, like, Mickey's Magical Map. They have, like...
I was just going to say, don't they have, like, the big, like, magic fireworks color show thing?
World of Color is fabulous. World of Color will get you soaking wet. I was miserable because I sat really close to where the water was spraying. but if you go, like, behind the water, you'll have a better time.
So, let me get this straight, Mitch. You pay $400 a year to go and be scared by piranhas every single time and then get soaking wet at...
No. Okay, John, if you have to know what I do every single time, it's like clockwork. I always go to Paradise Pier in California Adventure. I always get the best vanilla ice cream in the whole wide world right then and there, and then I go wait in line for Toy Story and just judge people the whole time. It's so great.
I've been on Toy Story.
Story Mania? Like, okay, so it's like
new.
It's like this little like a plastic ball on the end of like a string, and you have like this gun shooter that you hold on with one hand, and you're yanking the chain the whole time. You put on 3D glasses,
yeah,
and you're like
you
shooting.
To actually shoot the like it's like in the game at the pizza place, right? Like it's that it's the game that's in the arcade in Toy Story.
They must have it. I don't remember.
I don't know.
But it's really cool because it's all digital. So like you're shooting like. A ball at a plate to break it and stuff, and it's so satisfying because you're just like yanking on that chain so much, and the high scores that I get in that game are out of this world because I do it every time. That's my tradition. But yeah, you guys need
to
go.
I love that you said it's so satisfying because it's yanking on the chain so much, and that's a great segue into Glee. Anyway, okay,
or not.
Glee, that was a long
Glee chat intro
about Disneyland, but it works.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay, so let's talk about tonight's episode of Glee. There's a lot of really weird things. So obviously last episode was the Cory Monteith episode, which was really, really heavy. But it looks like Glee is back to its roots with tonight's episode. It was back to the same song as the funny one-liners in there. Well, the show opens and we find out that Throat Explosion, which is apparently... another group that's going to be heading to Nationals, is going to be New Direction's number one threat. And we see a little, like, flash sideways or whatever to the Throat Explosion who just perform around the clock 10,000 hours. they have to log before they can even audition. Basically, they're just like, you know, you think Lee's done it with like those craziest show choirs and dedication,
right?
That compete against them. But I think they really took it to a whole new level with this group. And Tina was clearly very upset about this. Mitch, what were your thoughts about Throat Explosion?
Well, I thought that it wasn't the name of a show choir. I thought it was just what Tina was doing, because I thought her throat was exploding, like, per the word. Like I thought this was, like, a hypnotist deal. Like, when you hear the words throat explosion, you will scream until your throat explodes. Like, I was just completely and utterly baffled. And it was just a weird introduction to the show. I was just like, huh? What? I don't get it. But it was really strange, too, when we had the side, we had that, like, little scene of Throat Explosion performing. And one of them, I'm going to say, had, like, something that reminded me of like the Dia de los Muertos makeup on, like a skeleton face, and he would like look to the camera and was like, blah, 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 blah. It was like, I was like, wait, is that like their late Halloween thing? Is that it?
Well,
one,
it's actually
how they keep coming up with these names for the show choir.
Yeah, I know.
So bad.
The
names.
Yeah. That's why I was just like, Throat Explosion. Is that the hypnotist word?
I was hoping Roxanne would come on tonight, because one of the other show choirs is from Pittsburgh, PA, and Roxanne's originally from Pittsburgh, and I live close there and spent a lot of time, but I thought maybe she'd have a little bit of insight about what's happening in the Pittsburgh show choir circuit, but she probably doesn't. Anyway, moving on from that, we find out that Kurt wants to start a band. There's no real rhyme or reason why he wants to start a band, though we do eventually find out that he just wants to do something great himself, and he sort of later compares himself to Rachel and Santana, who have done some pretty impressive things already in their first, you know, year or so in New York City. And, we see the audition process, and they're waiting around for people to show up, and that's when Adam Lambert's character Starchild comes in and auditions. He performed Lady Gaga's song "Mare of the Night" from her "Born This Way" album. And, well, first, let's talk about the performance. I heard the song when it was released last week on the Glee official music SoundCloud, and I was freaking obsessed with it. I was like, oh, my God, Adam Lambert, your voice is amazing. Again, another reason Roxanne needs to be on this episode, because she's such a huge Adam Lambert fan. But he'll be on the next couple episodes at least. Mm. Anyway, Mary the Night, I was just like, yes, this is definitely one of my favorite Gaga songs. For those who don't know, I'm a huge, huge Gaga fan. I guess who isn't these days? But I really do feel like I'm like one of her biggest fans. And I love this. I thought Adam Lambert did a really great job of making it sound different, but still very true to the original song. Natalie, what did you think of it?
I love Adam Lambert. Like, I don't know if I am like Roxanne levels of Adam Lambert, but I like... I love him. Like, I've seen him play a few times. Like, I met him at a signing. Like, I think he's like a genius. Like, in terms of, like, I really love. Well, I really love glam rock. Like, that's my big thing.
Right.
And I'm really, and the whole time, like, ever since he sort of started, I've been like, yes, there needs to be more people bringing back like the whole like glam rock performance.
Right.
Like, not like a pop star like Gaga, which is not bad, but like the full-on like 70s male glam rock thing, which is like huge thing for me. And like, so number one, his whole entire own career I appreciate, and then I appreciate in Glee that he is still sort of playing that part, like that he even like named himself after Ziggy Stardust, which the show has not focused enough on David Bowie, in my opinion. Who is like my number one famous big artist, and I can't believe that they haven't done more Bowie songs.
Yeah,
but the performance was, he's so good. Like, he's such a, I love the whole, everything about him, like the aesthetic. It comes across so live and so good live, and I wasn't sure on screen whether it would be like kind of a bit weird, but it was so good. And like the spinning on the light, and like, his voice is one of the best I've ever heard as well. So the performances in this episode I really loved, like nearly all of them. But this one was the best, I think.
Yeah, I had the same apprehension you did about Adam Lambert, because I do love him, but I wouldn't consider myself like even a big fan. I love to see what he's up to and his performances. But, you know, I don't know if you saw the preview for this episode when it was released a couple weeks ago. He kind of looked a bit I don't know, cartoonish or
yeah, like too much. Yeah, like
what are they doing? Yeah, like they're doing too much with Top Hat and all that stuff. And I was like, I don't want them to go into that. But I did see the other pictures of him performing what was, we found out, was Roar. And he looked a little more, you know, not over the top. And I was like, okay, this could be interesting. And then after he performed it, I was just like, whatever. He can do whatever he wants if he's going to sound like that. So, yeah, Mitch, what did you think about the performance?
Yeah, all that Natalie said and more. And John, you just reminded me of one thing that I texted you when I first saw a picture of Adam Lambert in show. So Leah Michelle tweeted out a picture of the New York City crew playing for Roar as a band. Remember this? And I thought he was Brody from Far Away. He was like,
oh, you did. That's right.
Right. Because in that picture, he looks like he was Brody because he was very tan and he had the same similar hairstyle. And for Far Away, I almost confused him for him, which brought to my mind.
It's like the New York cast. Right. Yeah, the New York cast, it's like you're probably thinking, like, who could this other guy be as well, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's exactly where I was coming from. So that brings to mind, where's Brody and why didn't he come along during this band audition? I don't know of a closure for his story, but I think it would have been a great point to bring him in, too. He's quite the talent. I'd miss his vocals.
Can I just talk
That's a great point.
Go ahead. We're talking about, like, closure stories as well. Lol at Kurt needing to form a band because he got kicked out of the Adam's Apples because he had a fiance. Sorry, but lol.
Yeah.
That was it. Like, I was like, yeah. Really? That's how you're going to end that? Really? Okay.
Yeah.
But whatever.
I was okay with it. I was curious. I actually thought that was interesting because, you know, fans kind of really held on to that whole Kurt and Adam situation when he was introduced. Mm. So,
yeah.
It felt like it could have really gone somewhere, but yeah,
and
that's interesting.
And I feel like the way they portrayed the character yeah. of Adam, he wouldn't have been that mean as well. Like, he wouldn't have been not dating anymore. So, I mean, even if Kurt did sort of emotionally mess him around. But anyway, I was just like, that's a really random way to siphon that in, but
no,
whatever.
You're right. That's Glee for you. When they want to get rid of something, that's how they go. But
true.
Mitch, you make a good point about Brody. I mean, the last we saw of him was in season 4 when Finn, you know, I think beat the hell out of him.
Yeah.
And I think that was like it. I can't be 100% sure, but I think that was the last.
That's totally.
Yeah.
Right.
So it is a little bit interesting to wonder about what he's up to. I wonder if he'll come back. We'll have to wait and see.
But you agree this would be a good time to bring him back in, wouldn't it have been?
Maybe. I mean, the thing is, if you bring Brody back, then you have to create another sort of set of arc for him, you know? So, it'd be kind of weird if he just came back out of nowhere, I think. But
well, he has potential in a Finn arc because he could have presented Rachel with your boyfriend was all you thought to me because he beat me up that night. And then Rachel could be like, oh, was he protecting me or was he being a jerk and beating up Brody? And
I don't think that they ever would have done that with Brody. I think, I just think that the way that that relationship ended means for Rachel to ever date someone else on the show after Finn, which I don't know if they'll go into or not. I mean, you know, people don't just sort of sit around forever, but it is quite sensitive at the moment. I don't think that they'd ever have him be the fallback guy. If they were going to have someone be the fallback guy for Rachel, I would love it to be Jesse.
I was about to say Jesse St. Clair. What's up with him?
Because he really cared about her, and you saw Jonathan Groff is a really good actor, and you saw a little bit of sort of, even though it's very much in the background, but like when he was coaching Vocal Adrenaline and when he saw them at Nationals, which I think is the last time you saw them, like the Nationals that they won, you can tell that even though he did some weird things because his head was in a really weird place, he loves Rachel. Like, he loved Rachel and he really cared about her. Yeah. And I think that if she was ever going to go to anyone, I would really like it to be her. And plus, it being Jonathan Groff, it would be very supportive for Leah to film that with him. Rather than, filming a new love with him rather than some random, if you know what I mean. If they're going to have Endgame Rachel with someone else, I want it to be Jesse.
Well, Natalie, I have a great person to throw into the mix that does all the things that you said Jesse did and more, perhaps. Puck, because I know you care a lot for Puck, and I know that you want good things for him. And he was also very close to not only Finn, but Corey, which would make it very easy for her to have a good connection with him, I'd say. Especially since they seem to be moving Puck more toward where Finn was going, as in Puck wanted to copy what Finn was doing to find his purpose, right? He was going to enlist in the military, which was what Finn was originally in, and didn't that inspire Puck to do that? So I feel like Puck could also be an interesting bring back around. And John, I won't ruin your news story, but let's keep hope in our hearts for Rachel's future love life, not immediate love life.
I think that is an option, but I don't know. I always think that he had Quinn and his kid on his mind the entire time. I think that, you know, his interest in Rachel was very very off to the side, and I don't think he'd ever really feel that good about it because of Finn now. But I think that
Ross
literally being Leah's best friend in real life would be like the best person for her to do that with. But anyway, the audition. Right,
The other thing too is it really does feel like Puck's character was sort of written off the show in that last episode. I don't know. The whole metaphor of riding away in the bike a little bit. Anyway, yes, let's move on a little bit. Kurt initially tells Starchild that he's not in it and that he has to calm down his look, which I thought was interesting to hear Kurt actually say that out loud to somebody, considering everything that happened to him.
I was literally like, I said out loud, like, are you effing serious? Like, I was like, are you kidding me, Kurt? Because I was like, I think I said, are you fucking kidding me, Kurt? Like, out loud. Because I was like, are you being a hypocrite? Have you, like, toned yourself down? Have you changed your mind? But then obviously, later, you kind of see where he was going with it. But I was so shocked. I was like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Like,
I was a little shocked too, all things considered. And you saw Adam Lambert sort of react, and he was just
they all had his face. He narrowed his eyes and then widened them. And I'm like, preach, bro, because it was like it was exactly the expression I was doing as well. I was like, really?
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. So we'll get more into that as we move along. The next scene, Sam, is all tangled up situation with the school nurse Penny. Where he wants to take the lead with the performance with new directions, their Katie or Gaga situation, and in an attempt to impress me, the school nurse, because she thinks he's not edgy enough. I mean, I didn't really want to jump to the Sam stuff. I don't know, this whole stuff with the, like, nurse, it just seems like I've never heard of a school. Like, I'm sorry I had to go back into this whole situation again, but, like, if a school nurse made out with a student, I mean, that would be, like, local headline news. Yeah. Right? Am I the only one that's, like, seeing this, like, the wrong way?
I think she's only meant to be, like, a couple of years older than him, but, yeah, it's weird.
It's still so illegal.
I also realized that if Sam was, now that they've made Sam, like, a junior, if you know what I mean, like, he's a senior now, but, like, when he first came onto the show, he wasn't one of the seniors. He was apparently younger because they kept him around, and that was never defined until last season. It means that in the episode where he was a stripper, he was a sophomore.
A sophomore, yeah.
15.
Yeah, because that was season two.
Oh, my God, that was a 15-year-old? Like, a 15-year-old shouldn't look like that.
So now he's a senior. That means when he was a stripper, he was a sophomore. So maybe 16. Everyone thought he was a senior or a junior at that point, and he might have been 18, if you know what I mean, or got a fake ID to say he was 18. But wow, he was 15 or 16. Cool. So just wanted to point that out.
It's creepy that I used to think that was sexy because the character is supposed to be portrayed as a 15 or 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, let's just go ahead and move on from that.
Well, John, you brought up a good point before we started recording, and we were talking about, of all things, Sam's chest in this episode, being as developed as it is just odd, and I think that
we'll get to that. Let's wait until the
wait till applause and all that.
Because I feel like we'll get to the whole
the
shirtless stuff is a whole other topic.
Yeah.
Okay, so Kurt admits that he wants to be successful like Santana and Rachel, and he has a really cute heart-to-heart with Rachel in their apartment. And again, I just wanted to note in this moment is that one of the things I wanted to note is that it really seems like, I know we've said this before, but Kurt and Rachel, Leah and Chris, I don't know, even in this little episode, in this little scene, I was like, they have such great chemistry. It really sounds like Leah Michelle is talking to Chris. Like, it didn't even really seem like a lot of acting or over-the-top performance was happening, you know, and I really appreciate that, especially considering where I'm sure Lea Michele's head is at this point in the game. But Natalie, you agreed with that?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was nice, but I was quite surprised to hear that kind of thing from him, like that, like he was wanting like mainstream success, and also like I didn't really understand like what he was trying to achieve with the band. I mean, they've said, you know, like, is it an indie band? Like, why is he auditioning for like five singers? Like, I don't really, like, is he trying to start like a pop group, like S Club 7? Like, if he had this trouble like getting people, like, who are the people playing the music? I know this is all like technicalities, but why could, anyway, like, I didn't understand. Yeah. Is he trying to be a successful like musician? Like, it's like kind of, she said, she was like, I didn't know that was something that you wanted. And Kurt, like, it's kind of reminds me back of like, it reminds me of like when they, you know, had him, you know, ready to go to college, and they were like, oh, he wants to go to NYADA, and everyone's like, he does? I thought he wanted to be, like, a fashion designer, like, and it just, I don't know if Kurt's kind of figured out what he wants to do yet, still, like, even though he's in NYADA and working
even
at Vogue,
still
don't know if he knows what he really wants.
Well, so okay, we'll get to, let's come back to this. Yeah, let's come back to this in a couple minutes when we talk about some of these upcoming news stories, because I have an interesting theory. Okay, yes, that's a little thing. Back in McKinley, Jake is helping choreograph a Cheerios routine when, I keep wanting to say Becca Tobin, when Kitty lets Marley know that Jake might need to be watched because Little Miss Bree could swoop in and end up, you know, persuading Jake to be doing something else. That eventually evolves, and we'll get to that in just a bit. In the next scene, Sam leads the applause performance where Marley's dressed as Katie. She's the only one of all the New Directions that's dressed as Katie and says that she wasn't comfortable wearing the nude bodysuit with seashells that Lady Gaga wore within her applause video. And Will finds it offensive and suspends her for not being a team player. And at first I was like, oh my God, Will, you're so dramatic. This is ridiculous. But then, you know, I could maybe see eye to eye with Will Schuster a little bit at this point, because it's like, yeah, she did kind of just screw it up the entire performance. And if that happens at Nationals, it could really cost them the title.
Yeah. I mean,
Mitch, what are your thoughts about that? Oh, and then we'll go to Natalie.
No, go on, Mitch. Sorry.
Well, we have to clarify, when we say that Will Schuster suspended Marley, we mean from Glee Club for that week.
Not and from school.
Right.
Not school altogether, because he doesn't have that power. Yeah, but I don't think he was justified in doing that for her because of his previous ways of dealing with kids who were struggling with something. Obviously, Marley was having an issue. She wasn't deliberately being, I'm going to be a rebel. She was saying, I am having an inner struggle. Give me your PSA, Glee. And it was like Will Schuster was denying her that PSA for once, which was strange to me. All of a sudden, he turned into like this random hard ass who was going to be like, you know what? It's not okay to be who you want to be, because I'm telling you who you're going to be in this performance. And if you try and be anything different, you're done. We are conformist in Glee Club. I was like, what? Where did this come from? Like, it's so random.
Natalie, what about you?
I mean, on one side, I think that if you're agreeing to do a special themed performance, like, on stage, it's like you can't just like go play a part in a play and be like, oh, I am in a play of Little Women, but I'm gonna wear like a futuristic robot costume. You can't just make that call for yourself, if you know what I mean.
Like, so a piranha hand, robot
on that hand, I think that Marley was kind of a dick, if you know what I mean. Like, she could have, there was a lot of other, you know, Gaga costumes she could have worn. She could have talked to them and been like, oh, I don't feel comfortable with this. That's, it's like, none of them feel comfortable with this, but they are doing it as part of the... And when Sam was like, do you think I feel comfortable being up here with my shirt off? And she's like, yes. And I'm like, that was bitchy, and kind of playing into his insecurities. So that was awesome. So I think she was awful about it, to be honest. But if Willie Schuster was, like, suspending her for not being comfortable, exposing her body when that she, like, had body issues and everything like that, like, that's also kind of really bad. And
I
kind
of forgot about that. That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, like, the issue to me with his actions isn't, oh, that she didn't want to be Gaga. Like, I think, yeah, that was, it's like, you're missing the point. Like, if you're going to participate, you have to participate, you know, in what we're doing. Even though Will's plans are so stupid, and I love that they keep, like, bringing it up, like, that the kids mutter in the background, being like, did he just make that up 5 minutes before he put it on the board and stuff like that? Like, loving that because they're making him more and more of a joke, and I love that they're sort of pointing it out. But the sheer fact that they wanted her to wear like the seashell bikini and that she wasn't comfortable with that, and that's why she didn't do it. It's not like Katie isn't also an extreme like sex icon, like, and it's not like she pretends not to be true. Either. So I don't really understand that. But besides from that, the fact that she didn't want to wear that outfit, and he was like, "You're suspended for not doing, you know, for not getting naked on stage." I'm like, maybe not to that.
Well, so, yeah, I guess Natalie, a better way to approach the situation would have been Marley going to Will before and saying, "This is not me saying I don't want to perform. This is me saying I'm not secure enough to be naked on stage or nearly naked." Especially, I don't know, maybe this would play in a factor. I am the only woman amongst all of the men that are going to be on stage. So the focus would be very much on my, you know, sexuality because I'm the only woman. So I think that they both kind of messed up, but I'm still more on Marley's side because it was a body issue. And I think that Will took it too harshly. A week of suspension is a lot, especially for a star player. And can we just mention that didn't even matter because she was still around, wasn't she? No, she wasn't. Oh, I'm just thinking of her.
She wasn't allowed into that performance. Like,
right, because there's a later performance that I just assumed she was in. I don't know. My brain blended together.
And I mean, she was kind of awful about it. Like, she was kind of being purposely, I think she was kind of being purposely rebellious, being like, "No, I'm a Katie, and I want to be a Katie, and if I want to be a Katie, you can't make me be a Gaga, even though we are all doing, everyone else is getting outside their comfort zones." That was her attitude about it, but the fact that it did tie into the body stuff was, pretty awful.
So speaking of bodies, I want to just mention,
go ahead.
Sorry, I just want to mention one thing. I very rarely will come onto Glee Chat and talk about how hot I think somebody looks. But I just want to say, amongst all of this, in this particular performance, an applause, and only one part of this whole situation, but when Darren was standing, was standing there complaining about, Marley, and it was just like his backside. I'm like, listen, I'm just going to put it out there. And like his costume had like, you know, there was like no back to it, but it like dipped or whatever, you know, and it came like right above like, you know, his like butt. I was like, "Oh my God."
Oh, that was, I'm getting that was sexed up to max. And I know for a fact from I'm just going to generalize as little as I can, but from the fandom that I am involved in within Glee, that sometimes becomes obsessed with male bodies, all right, we got that out there, does often treasure Darren Criss's bottom.
Yes, that's
a lot. So I feel like that might have been a little bit of a fan service shot, not costume, but shot, because, like, he's been in, like, you know, tight costumes or whatever else like that
before. Right, that's
that was like
was
a
saying.
Shot on his ass. It really was.
It was totally a shot on his ass, and his back was all, like, ripped, and I'm just like, listen, I'm feeling some type of way about this. And I don't know what else to do about it except talk about it on Glee Chat. So here it is.
Can I just say that a very good friend of mine who is both a very big fan of Darren and knows him quite well and is friends with his girlfriend refers to him as LA face with the Oakland booty. Just so you all know.
Oh my God. That's perfect. Oh my God, that's perfect.
Very clearly true on tonight's episode.
Yeah, just so you know.
That's perfect. But I can't help but think, like, maybe you guys go this route too, but I can't help but think whenever there's, like, a dance move that Darren's doing where he, like, shakes his butt a little bit, I just think of the GIFs. I can't help but think of the GIFs.
Oh, God. Would somebody please think of the GIFs? I personally really liked that opening shot of Sam in the wings because I think, like, pretty boys in wings is attractive, but,
Interesting, yeah. So, we just unapologetically talked about Darren Criss's butt for the first time on the show, and I don't care what anyone thinks about it, so in your face.
And apparently that's what they got going on. They're not going to deny us anymore. They're like, you want it? Here it is.
Yeah, here it is. It's all right there for you, and it's spandex glory.
That's okay, so much worse than this is. That sounds like Richard Simmons to me or something. Spandex Glory. Spandex Glory, here we go. Reach up and down.
Oh my God, it's the new Glee Club name. It's the new competitors for Nationals.
Spandex Glory. Spandex Glory. I love it. God. Wouldn't you laugh if you heard that on on next season?
He's just getting increasingly more sexual. Throat explosion, spandex glory.
Speaking of Ryan Murphy and company listening to our show and then turning things into plot points, I couldn't help, Natalie, but we talked a little bit about this on Twitter, about the Skrillex and Nine Inch Nails stuff, and I'm like, this is very clearly like someone's listening to Glee Chat and like throwing us a bone here and there about it.
I don't know. It's just like I find when they make... Okay, like, so it's really weird because the entire show is about pop culture, and that's fine. But I find that the way that they talk about it, when they actually mention, like, current events by name, to always be really forced in. When they were all, like, I remember when they did, like, a My Chemical Romance song, and like, Rachel was like, you know, I love My Chemical Romance. And I'm like, that sounded so ridiculous. Like, it just doesn't sound... They never managed to make, like, the pop culture references actually sound that natural. Well, like, it's doing always the like, songs hey, look, is one thing, but,
it's
like
hey, it's, look at me, I know about pop culture, so we're gonna
other sort of shows that have that kind of thing more, like, naturally, if you know what I mean. I can't wait for the episode where they start talking about One Direction. But, you know, I just found it really funny. Like, I really like Nine Inch Nails, and they're a band that's been around for, like, 25 years. That's, like, you know, if anyone out there hasn't heard of them, I'm like, what the hell? But it's kind of weird to hear them referenced on Glee.
On Glee, I know.
But, like, her just having Penny keep going on about Skrillex, I was, like, I was literally, like, holding my head in my hands going, like, I can't believe this is happening. It's so awkward. It just sounds so awkward.
Yeah, you're, like, such a huge Nine Inch Nails, or, I mean, a Skrillex fan, so I really
I'm not, like... I don't actually like dubstep. I just still can't handle the fact that Skrillex is a thing. Because, as I guess I've mentioned on the show before, yeah, he used to be in a screamo band when he was, like, 14 to 17 that was, like, a little baby band in the scene that I was involved in. So I've, like, sort of watched him grow up. And then he, like, vanished.
Is he Australian?
No, he's not Australian. He's not Australian. But fun story I will actually tell you, seeing as it's compared to Katy Perry, valid to Katy Perry. I met his band, the most time I spent with his band was on an American, like, the Warp Tour, like the pop punk Warp Tour, which is a big traveling music festival in 2008 that I worked on, and Katy Perry was on that tour. She was for the whole tour. Like, she was it was sort of when I Kissed a Girl came out, and just when that was getting to number one and people didn't really know her. And she was just, like, one of the only pop acts on this big sort of rock tour. And a girl that I started on the tour with, we both originally started working for the same band, ended up working for her doing merch. And because that girl is a really good friend of mine, and I'm still, like, really good friends with her. So I went on their, like, I slept on their bus, like, a bunch of time, like, Katie's bus and all of that kind of stuff. So that was kind of, like, weird. And then she got really famous, and it was like, oh, okay, that was kind of weird. But
that's a really good story, actually. I didn't know that about
Skrillex, Sonny Moore, his old band from First to Last, was on that tour as well. But the point is, he got really sick and he went away, and because he couldn't sing anymore, he started making electronic music, and then he came back as Skrillex and was, like, 5 billion times more successful as Skrillex than his band ever was. Right. As a band, if you know what I mean. And it's just, I still am, like, lol at it. It's just really weird.
Yeah.
But,
That's very interesting. Well, that's a perfect segue into the next point, which is when Tina, Jake, Kitty, and Unique sang Wide Awake, Tina suggested that they sort of strip everything away, all the theatrics, and make Katy Perry very soft and sensual or whatever. And I actually love Wide Awake. I'm not a huge Katy Perry fan. But I do love Wide Awake, and I really loved Jacob Artist's vocals on this version. It was very... What was the one song he sang last season? Let Me Love You. That was so gorgeous.
Oh,
It kind of reminded me of his, like, sensual R&B voice. And I really loved Wide Awake. What did you think, Mitch?
Yeah, I agree. And it reminds me of a song that Drake has out right now that I can't remember for the life of me. It has that sensual R&B singing thing to it.
Well, most Drake songs do.
Oh, there's one that's out that's actually pretty decent. I don't care for them usually, but
Okay.
It reminded me a lot of that. Natalie, do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know it off the top of my head. I will admit to not knowing Drake that well. I was kind of a bit surprised that they thought like that the whole Katie and Gaga divide that they kept trying to make a thing, if you know what I mean, in being like, I am, you know, that Katie is all sweet and nice and good and everything, and that Gaga's all edgy and stuff like that. I think that Katie has been, like, you know, she has, like, crazy wigs and costumes and stuff as well. Like, I don't know.
That's a good point, yeah.
Like, I don't know why it's meant to be, well, like, such a divide, but...
Well,
the song
here's
was
the thing:
nice.
the whole Lady Gaga versus. And listen, I am very well aware of where Glee was trying to make this. The whole Lady Gaga versus Katy Perry fandom clash has absolutely nothing to do with. Do you like soft and sensual girl next door music versus crazy? Oh my God, Lady Gaga music, and it's all about. It's really all about the artistry. A lot of people that. try to make Katie versus Gaga happen are doing it from
like
a
Fetch.
What?
Mean Girls Fetch.
Right. similar to that, yeah.
Stop it's really trying to make more... Katie Gaga happen.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. It's just really more about Lady Gaga writes her own music and seems a lot more artistic value than, say, Katy Perry's, you know, somewhat vanilla songwriting. And you know, it's not anything, it's very catty, but, you know, when Lady Gaga started promoting her new album, Art Pop, which, by the way, is amazing, you guys have to listen to it. It's one of the best albums. You know, a lot of her sort of, like, because it was happening around the same time as Lady as Katy Perry's new album, Prism, you know, Lady Gaga went right on and was like, listen, stop digital hate, don't, you know, we're here to empower each other, it doesn't have to be me versus her. I don't think Katy Perry ever specifically addressed it, but
yeah,
Lady Gaga was very adamant about not making it a thing, probably long after Glee had already set this episode to happen. So
yeah,
I don't know what's going on with it.
I don't know, it's just really confusing to me, really. And I mean, that's kind of like I liked, and just what the fact they kept being like, "Are you a Katie or a Gaga?" And I'm like, can I just say, like, I will admit, like, most, you know, MVP this episode, like Sue, her speech in her office when Brie came in and being like, "Why do we have to like pit these pop artists? Why can't we be all of them?" And then and the stuff, and she's like, you know, this is the most annoying thing they've ever done. I'm going to agree with her. I thought I liked the performances in this episode,
and I liked
the New York storyline, but oh my God, the New Directions storyline was one of the weakest, in my opinion, that this, like, Katie versus Gaga thing, just because I think it's personally really stupid that they're
Well, it was definitely them trying to push a story around the music, you know, where they should try to be pushing the music around
the story. Yeah, they didn't used to always be so themed. I swear this wasn't always a thing.
No, it wasn't. Very good. Okay, Wide Awake was excellent. We all agreed. Let's move on. Jake goes back to Marley goes back to Jake's house where they start making out on his bed and things start to get a little heavy, but Marley kind of freaks out about it and says no, she doesn't want anything to do with it. They get in a little argument and he says that something along the lines of it usually only takes a couple minutes before a girl's trying to get in his pants. And Marley rips her wig off. She's still wearing her Katy Perry wig, by the way, while all this is happening.
Somehow.
Throws it at Jake and says, well, then go be with one of those girls. We cut to Jake coming back to McKinley, where he meets up with Brie. And you can kind of tell he's not really...
Into it.
Like, he's very, like, you know, kind of... I don't know what the emotion would really be. I don't know if it's ashamed, but he asked Brie if they want to... Yeah, something like that. But he asked Brie if they want to go somewhere private, very private, blah, blah, blah. And allegedly they go and do it, or go do something, I should say. And, you know, I don't know, Mitch. I think as guys, do we have a perception that's a little bit different than... I don't know. I just want to put this out there, and I don't mean that it's okay that he went and did this by any means, but I have noticed in my life that guys have a very different needs than girls in my perspective, and not in a way that's like trashy or I think, what is the word I'm trying to say? Like, it's not like they're out to, you know, like not every guy is like a hound and is going to be like, oh, I'm trying to get any.
Right. Well, okay. Let me back you up on that. I see where you're coming from, and I see how you're trying not to make all men sound like sexist pigs who only mm-hmm. care about. This is going to sound bad.
Right. That stuff. Right.
Right. I wanted to. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, yes, guys. Sometimes it's, you can't define a whole gender by any phrase, mm-hmm. but sometimes we'll have, you know, a stronger sexual desire earlier on right. than women. Sometimes.
Yeah, this is what I was going to say. It's also an age thing. If I can, say about that is that, look, there is no world in which we should be saying like, oh, it's okay for like guys to pressure girls, but
of course,
guys. The reason that it's less of a big deal for Jake than it is for Marley is because at that age, like, doing that kind of sexual stuff, it's, like, not really tied up in emotions. Like, for a guy, it's just like, mm-hmm. oh, I want to get off or whatever.
Exactly.
And whereas for a girl at that age, like, it's very, I mean, like, literally also for a girl, it's invasive, like it's physically
right.
it's more vulnerable for a girl mm. and she still has it all tied up with emotions in her head, whereas like a girl and also physically hormonally guys are sort mm-hmm. of more spurred on by it at that age, whereas women are more hormonal mm-hmm. later in their like in their life.
And let's also not forget, you know, Marley's history, you know, she has some yeah. body image issues. Maybe she just doesn't want to go right into it. So yeah. I guess what I was trying to say is I sympathize with Jake in some perspective, being, you know, I was a male in high school at one mm. point, as were you, Mitch. But at the same time, you do have to consider Marley's history. And I don't think that he was really thinking about that at all. He seemed very focused on his own personal needs.
Yeah.
Whereas it feels like they should have been having conversations about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just seemed to me like he didn't realize that he wasn't doing enough. It's not like he was being selfish. It's like he didn't realize he wasn't being selfish,
exactly.
if that makes sense.
Right.
And, it's not like he was consciously being like, oh, screw her. He was not realizing.
Right.
Because the act itself meant less to him, that he didn't have as much stigma about it. He's not really understanding why it is for her and, like, you know, mm-hmm. why if she doesn't. Because, look, sex isn't that big a deal, but it starts out as a really big deal.
Exactly.
And so, you know, they're clearly, you know, she's at the point where it is a really big deal and, you know, sometimes guys, you know, sometimes dudes just don't think that way, and young girls do.
Right.
And they don't realize that there is that much of an emotional difference between the two of them. And
right.
yeah, they clearly haven't really communicated about it. And
no.
she also, I don't mean this in a like, oh, she deserved it, but she also kind of like got there and, you know, he said, you know, my mom's going to be out really late. And she kind of like looked like, oh yes, I'll go and do that, like, oh yeah, like, and she didn't look like she wanted to, really. She kind of looked like, oh yes,
right.
maybe if I give him this, he won't go cheat on me with that Brie, because after she saw them dancing
yeah.
and stuff like that. That's kind of what I read it. And then she was like, oh, I'm going to try, but no, I can't. But yeah, I, at this point, don't know exactly why she has the issues with going further, you know, whether it is, like, body issues and being touched, or just that she doesn't feel ready or whatever. And all of that is fine, but it's clearly something that they haven't really discussed. So
right,
that's
right.
not ideal.
Right. Very good. Okay, let's move on from that. We'll probably see a lot more. We'll figure out what happens with that over the next several episodes. In the next scene, the band members in New York City are trying to come up with a name for their band. Rachel comes in, who at this point isn't a part of the band yet, and recommends, why don't you call each other Pamela Lansbury? And everyone, including myself, instantly thought that was the best name for a band ever made. And that's what it is. And then they also convince Rachel to be a part of the band. So let's just put this in perspective. How amazing is it that Glee now has a 5-person band made up of Demi Lovato, Leah Michele,
oh
Adam Lambert, Naya Rivera and Chris Colfer.
Oh my god.
I cannot even wait to see what comes out of this group.
I was kind of thinking that during the Marry the Night performance when Demi was playing guitar for Adam.
Yes,
I was like,
that's what I was thinking.
I was kind of like looking at them being like, they're two really big pop stars on this thing right now. Like, but I don't understand this band because I loved the scene where he met him in the diner. Number one, is he supposed to be the same age as them?
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing, Natalie. I totally was.
I love Adam, and I think he's gorgeous. I think he's one of the most, like, literally so attractive, very, very good-looking guy. But he's, like, 30-something now. He's got to be, like, at least 30. He's not, well, like, he said he went to NYU. And is he meant to be 19? Like, is he meant to be the same age? Is he meant to be a few years older? Because he looks a lot older than them. It's cool that they want to hang out, but he looks a lot older than them. So there's that. And there's also, he was like, oh, one of my goals was, like, to join an indie band. And, like, Kurt's like, oh, no one's auditioning and stuff like that. And I really wish that even if they were all going to sing, that they had kind of actually structured it so they were the members of the band, not like they had a backing band that Kurt grew in a pot or something, and that that's like five singers. Because if they want to like make a pop group where they all are a pop group, that's also fine, but that's kind of not what they were pitching, and I don't understand how this is a quote-unquote band, if you know what I mean, if all Kurt is doing is auditioning for multiple singers.
Rather than having
the instrumentalists just be like background people. So actually kind of something I'm kind of a bit sick of with Glee actually is that they, because lots of people on the show can play instruments and I know that they have a big performance factor, but I wish that when they did stuff that was like making music that they had the, even if they faked it, even if they were just, you know, not really playing it in real life, but that they had like so-and-so be the, guitarist and so be the keyboard player and all of that kind of stuff, because I don't know, I kind of feel like it's just like shunting those random instrumentalists into the background.
It would lend a little bit of authenticity to the show, you know, with their talents. Yeah, I agree.
I was always
No, go ahead.
I was just one thing that always kind of not stuck with me, but always that I kind of vaguely wanted was like people were I know me and my friends kind of talked about back in the sort of season 1 to 3 days with the original New Directions, people were like, I cannot believe that like Finn plays drums and Puck plays guitar and Artie plays guitar as well. Sam plays guitar, but they've never had like a garage band on the side, and that hasn't been part of the show. If you know what I mean, like where they just like play in a rock band together. Well, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, totally. And well, I mean, instruments or not, I mean, the five of them, I cannot wait to hear what music comes next, because it's going to be so exciting to hear them together.
Oh, totally. And there was one moment, well, I guess, I don't know, could we talk about something that the band did?
Of course.
Okay, so there's one moment when Demi had a riff right after, like, I think...
Oh, I know exactly
like,
what
Rachel
you're talking
and,
about.
Like, Adam, and I was like, oh my god, that's a rock band! Like, that needs to be real. That needs to be something that really gets a lot of songs, because that, like we were saying, Natalie, is just too much star power and talent to not take advantage of. I don't know if he's ever put together such a concentrated group of, like, five people who can just rock it and know how to, like, work that camera and just rip off those vocals. It was just, like, breathtaking. It absolutely was.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to see what's next. Yeah, so let's talk about that. Both New York and Lima McKinley High School started performing Roar by Katy Perry, which was a pretty big hit over the summer here in the States, at least.
The summer that hasn't happened on Glee yet, you mean?
Right, exactly. We'll not even get
No, it's true.
We won't even get into that. But yes, both locations performed Roar. And let's talk first, really, we talked a little bit about the NYC stuff. They were sort of just hanging out, looking at each other while they sing. But back in McKinley, they have a huge jungle gym set full of, well, not jungle gym, but a jungle set where each of them are in their little, you know, loincloths, a la the Roar music video. And I was talking to Mitch, I think, Natalie, right before you were coming on, and I think the biggest, you know, this song's great or whatever, it seemed maybe a tiny bit exploitive, you know, like it seemed like, I don't know, the guys running around in loincloths was like,
I was a bit like, wow, they've really all got their shirts off, and they've really, like, it wouldn't even be that big deal to me if they were meant to be adults, but, like,
right, that's what
they've all had all of their body hair waxed to make them look, like, really young, and I was kind of trying to imagine if, like, I was actually sitting watching a bunch of 16-year-olds, like, do that, and I was like, props not,
it would be
hey.
So,
like,
uncomfortable, yeah. Yeah, well, that's, like, what I was talking to Mitch about, is, like, these people, the guys especially, look like grown men. Jacob Artist is ripped and looks like a man. The girls get away with a little bit more because they're a little bit more covered up. It's a little, you know, I mean, I couldn't help but note, be like, you know, I was, like, really attracted to them, but, like, they're meant to be in high school. What am I supposed to do, you know?
Yeah.
No, it's a little bit awkward. But anyway, the performance was awesome. What did you think about it, Mitch?
I wasn't really paying attention too much to the performance, you could say. I mean, there were, like, some gratuitous booty shots. If we thought that we had an Oakland booty shot before, like, there were some times when they'd be on, like, a vine and they would, like, lean back and they'd be coming toward the camera. So they were only wearing, like, a Tarzan thong underneath. And I was just like, this is just distracting. I'm not even paying attention to what they're singing about right now. And,
I mean, if
of course,
I'm completely honest, I'm going to be probably slow-mo recapping that whole entire scene.
Oh my god.
I mean, like, I feel,
yeah,
like
I'm disgusting.
I feel like I'm personally obliged, like, as myself, having a physical crush on as many of the men as I do on Glee, I'm personally obliged to sit through an applause for Sam's purposes, and I just need to, it's like,
yeah,
it's like that was set up for people like me who will get really excited about the hot guys on Glee, and there's a part of me that feels horrible for doing it because I know that A, they're meant to be 16-year-olds, and B, they're human beings. But that's besides the point. Anyways,
the reality is different than the characters. Yeah,
I don't know. It was just, yeah, it was something, wasn't it?
Well,
I was just,
eventually,
yeah,
Mitch, I'll send you some screenshots. We'll screenshots as I'm
share
them
on the Instagram. Ooh, we'll get some followers, yeah, then.
Yes. Okay. So that's pretty much it for the main part of our show tonight.
What
we're gonna.
Happened? The start of that song with Sue. Can I just say quickly?
What was that?
Oh, right, that's right.
You know that how they open the song with, like, Sue being, like, something random? What is going on?
Well, Sue suspended everybody, and then, I don't know, they went into Roar, and I don't know, it was just a segue into a song that was really awkward and really had no meaning, so that's all.
This Sue plotline is just confusing.
Oh, of course.
She's like, I hate you again. No, I don't want you to win, even though I said I did before. Even though I said you weren't my enemy before, I'm just going to kind of squeeze that back in because we needed a really bad antagonist. So I'm that antagonist.
Right. Well, Glee is back next week with another episode called The End of Twerk. And I can't wait to see how they handle it because I really hope twerking stops. So hopefully
that
will
be. Let's make that stop.
Okay, so let's get into a couple real quick before we end the show, a couple of really pretty interesting news stories that developed since our last episode aired, or rather since our last episode posted about a month ago. One of the biggest stories to come out in the last month and really in a long time is that Ryan Murphy is allegedly developing a Glee spinoff featuring Leah Schell. And I reported on this on Hypeable. This was reported on RadarOnline.com, who, you know, don't always get it entirely right. Let's just put it that way. The quote coming from Radar Online is that, quote, they're making the deals now, and it also presents a viable exit plan for the main Glee series itself, and that some of its core cast would also migrate to the Leah Michelle project as Glee is showing signs of aging. Well, yeah, Glee's been showing signs of aging, so that's not anything new. It also was announced, you know, a couple weeks ago that Glee would be the sixth season, would be its final season. Mm. What are your guys' thoughts? I mean, you know, I read back this article I wrote, and I looked at Radar Online, and nothing really indicated that it would necessarily be a spinoff from Glee. I kind of read it again, and I don't know if it was meant to be.
You think he might just do another show for her?
With her.
That he kind of put NeNe Leakes in The New Normal and in Glee, but not related in any way.
Right. So that was. And then, you know, they sort of mentioned in the same article about how some of the cast would come with Leah Michelle, but from Glee, but that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, it's the new directors people. So. Well, either way, what do you guys think about a new Ryan Murphy, Leah Michelle feature? Let's go to Natalie first.
Well, what you're saying, if it's not an actual Glee spin-off, kind of reminds me of, like, Joss Whedon, like, making different shows with his integral team of people that he likes to work with.
Right.
Which could be interesting. I don't know if I want it to be a Glee spin-off. I don't know if, like...
That's how I feel, too.
I don't know if I want it to be a Glee spin-off, and I don't know if I want Leah to kind of, like... If, you know, if she wants to keep doing Glee stuff, then that's fine. But I sort of can't imagine that. I feel like that it would be good to do something new and that she would want to do something new if she's going to keep pursuing that. I am okay. I don't say this with, like, oh my god, hatred of Glee and that they're crap now or anything like that.
No.
I'm kind of ready for it to end at season six. I think that only because of Corey. Like, I think that, like, they were renewed for that, and I think that if they fulfill what they're doing with the, you know, utmost respect to everyone who is a fan and to him and to Leah, and they sort of fulfill it and they make it as best as they can, and that they don't just keep flogging it. Like, they fulfill, instead of cancelling the show when he died, they fulfill what they have to do, and that's kind of it, if you know what I mean. I think
Well, that's what I was saying, you know, I was talking to one of my... Right, totally. And that's what I was telling one of my coworkers who had brought this up to me. I was like, you know, I love Glee. It's brought so much joy to my life just watching the show. Obviously, this podcast is like its whole other, in a lot of ways, brought so much more joy. And I'm really happy. But I am okay with the finish line, because it does feel a little bit like, okay, especially after Corey passed away, let's go ahead and tie this up with a bow. You know, we know where the end game is. We know where the finish line is. And I don't see Leah Michelle, you know, in my opinion, going on and doing Rachel Berry for, what, another four, five, six seasons?
I don't think that she'd want that. I mean, I don't know her, but I can't imagine wanting that, like, if it was me.
No, right. And I think just from a professional standpoint, no actor really wants to be locked into 12 years of the same character in any way. Yeah. So, I don't know. Mitch, what are your thoughts about the spinoff?
Totally with you guys. I think Glee's done its purpose. And, you know, if Ryan Murphy is dead set on needing Leah Michelle for something new, he could bring her on to American Horror Story or something. I mean,
God,
probably the worst show for her to be on it out of all the shows that he's done, I've got to admit. That would not fit.
No, that wouldn't fit. But you know what's actually interesting about this, Mitch and Natalie, is whenever I posted this on Hypeable, I was really surprised. So many of the comments on that particular post were very, very in favor of having a Glee spinoff that would be just Rachel sort of living in New York and having that whole spinoff thing that we heard about a couple of seasons ago.
I don't know.
John, that whole thing definitely comes from people saying, oh, we were teased with New York and now we don't get it, so this is the only way we're going to have it. And I'm just sitting there like, okay, yeah, you're going to get your New York, but it's going to come to a point where Glee is tired as crap and doesn't need another season and doesn't need a spinoff show or whatever they're going to call it. It doesn't need to happen at that point. Like, that needed to happen season 4 and...
Yeah, like, if it was going to happen, it should have. And they've done that. They made the quote-unquote spin-off by putting the show in two locations. Like, they did the thing they were going to do. They just didn't make it
a whole
separate show.
They did the revolutionary thing.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we're still waiting for the revolutionary thing, right? Like, does that happen yet?
And it was funny because we haven't seen much of, like, Leah's Broadway, you know, not Leah. Well, I mean, Leah, true, her Broadway life as well. She might want to go do that. But we haven't seen much of, like, Rachel's, like, Broadway life yet, but even from this first couple of, like, episodes where she has Funny Girl, we obviously haven't seen her at rehearsal, but it doesn't feel like she's starring in an actual big Broadway show, if you know what I mean. Like, and I don't want to compare it to Smash, but I'm going to compare it to Smash in the sense of, like, when Karen, who was also a complete unknown, was kind of, like, working in development of this show, like, for Bombshell and stuff like that, that, you know, just the way that, like, the weight that was given to it was kind of, it felt really realistic. Smash, one of the biggest things for Smash about me was that it always felt very realistic, even though I know the process was sort of sped up, because shows take, like, 2 or 3 years rather than, like, 1 year to develop. But all we've seen, you know, Leah's like, oh, yeah, I was at rehearsal, whatever. And as I said, we haven't seen her on that set and what is going on in her life. But it kind of feels like just all small and normal, and you know that she's just doing a little thing, and it—I don't know—it doesn't feel like that big a deal at the moment, and I don't know how they're gonna make that.
Right.
You know, it's gonna be a big deal when it starts, like when the show starts, like a new Broadway show of a famous musical opening. It's going to be a really big deal, and they just haven't seemed to make that a big deal.
Some of the comments, let me read a couple of the comments here on the Hypeable page. This is Miss X Steph 21. I hope this happens. I'd love a spinoff that takes place in New York City with Rachel and some characters like Santana and Kurt. Watching them made in the city, that would be perfect. That was like one of the top liked comments. Bill I Am, who I think is a friend of the show, says, so basically the NYC spinoff that should have happened after season 3. Praise you, Ryan Murphy. Stephanie Strain, I would so love it if NYC cast is there. I've wanted Glee to do an NYC spinoff since season 4. It's just interesting to me. I mean, to me, it's like, here's another one, Amber Carney. I'm down. Anything Glee is welcome by me. Obviously, these are people who love Glee as we do. I'm just, whenever, you know, seasons 5 and 6 were renewed, and we knew, at least I knew as soon as that happened, that that meant season 6 was going to be the last season, as most of us on here did. I was okay with it. I was like, you know what, let's make that the end, and we'll say goodbye to Glee, and it was awesome, and let's move on.
Yeah, we've had our run.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to, we'll obviously be keeping you up to date on Hypeable.com with all the latest Glee news, so keep an eye out for any developments with a spinoff. Okay, so in the other, let's just do the Glee Christmas album. There's not going to be a Glee Christmas album this year. Natalie, you actually reported on this. What are your thoughts?
I mean, it makes sense in terms of they're not having a Christmas episode because they've already had Christmas in this school year, if you know what
I mean. Okay, so wait a minute. Before you get into that, breaking news. Tonight, there was a picture tweeted by Ryan Murphy or somebody of them in Christmas outfits.
Oh, God, shut up.
This is what I was going to say, John, because this is exactly what I was going to say. And because recently after that story got posted, I saw another few things, like, because I follow a few blogs that have quite a lot of Glee news that is sort of not generally reported on Hyperball because it's really not really sourced, but like things like, oh, Glee has an open casting call for this, and so you kind of get spoilers in advance of what they're looking for, and they were looking for like a dirty mall Santa, if you know what I mean, and everyone was like, a Santa, like, for a Christmas episode? Okay. And so everyone was a bit confused about that. And I don't know what's going on with Glee and Christmas. Like, I feel like I feel like they should not do a Christmas episode because it's not Christmas in their timeline. But then there keeps being talk of this, like, unaired Christmas episode. Yeah. Like, which came up in this very big interview Darren did, mainly about Broadway stuff, yesterday. Ryan has sort of hinted at it, and it said, is it true there's an unaired Christmas episode exists? Ryan Murphy recently teased with it via Twitter, and Darren said, well, sort of. And they said, sort of? He said, I'll just say sort of, dot, dot, dot. But yes, there is. There is a Christmas episode that is unaired. When did they make this? Or do they mean that they shot more plot lines for Glee, actually, that didn't, like, make it in, if you know what I mean?
Here's my theory. And as you're talking, I'm kind of figuring this out in my head. An unaired Christmas episode may mean they did it on Glee as their characters, and there's an unaired episode of, I don't think that there's a Christmas episode that was created by the Glee cast previously and now we're getting it now. I think the unaired episode is within the canon. The unaired Christmas episode is something maybe they've done for like McKinley's closed circuit television or something. I mean, it's clear that they're going to be doing a Christmas episode of some sort. And trying to
frame those Christmas sales, I'm assuming, do really well because I always see them really high on the iTunes charts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why they'd be doing. Yeah, they do. They do better than most of the other albums, and I don't know why they'd be doing a Christmas episode without an album. I could understand them doing an album without an episode. That would make sense because they could just do songs because people like them, and then not have an episode because it doesn't bloody make sense in the timeline.
So here's another thing about that. What you were just mentioning is that there are so many of these songs from those first couple of episodes or first couple of albums that never make it to the actual air.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to recycle some of those songs. Like we saw Rachel do, what was the song?
Holy Night.
Yeah, that was on, like, what, first album or something?
Well, I know there's, like Santa Baby, for example. That was one that Naya Rivera shot. Like, do you know how many numbers Glee has actually shot and not used? And I find that amazing. I'm like, surely you should have it planned out that you should know not wait. I know there's editing, but surely you shouldn't shoot entire numbers and waste millions of dollars on shooting these numbers that you don't even use. But I know there's definitely a couple of numbers for Christmas episodes that weren't used. Yeah. Maybe they're just going to release an episode that's just like a pastiche of all these different songs and that's
right.
it.
That's like, what I was thinking too. Or they might make it like, ooh, guys, remember back in the day when we did that Christmas, like, and just frame it as if we were unaware of it. And then it's like, do, 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 dream sequence. And then it's like a flashback of some sort. But either way, I feel like the only way they're going to get away with making music at this point without a new Glee album or Christmas album is if they recycle music from previous albums, which, you know, those albums are chock full of Christmas songs, but we don't see all of them on the show. So interesting to see how they handle that. But obviously with photos of them surfacing in their Christmas costume, something's being created at least.
Oh,
so.
Please tell me it's not like another calendar shoot.
Oh, that was awkward.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I don't even know. I'm really confused. If it is actually a Christmas episode, I am just not going to tolerate it. Like, if they are like, if they're like, oh yeah, it's Christmas again. I'm like, is it? Is it? Because...
Yeah, no, we're not. Well, actually, you know what? If that happens, we will do a very large campaign where we try to get Glee's attention and demand answers. We'll,
I'm
you know,
sorry.
Oh, just, like, get Lindsay back on Glee or something? What was your campaign?
Oh, right, yeah. Lindsay, bring Lindsay back to
Glee. Bring Lindsay Pierce back.
But what we could do is activate all of our Glee Chat fans to, you know, tweet to Ryan, and we'll make a video, and we'll write to our senators and congressmen, and we will get to the bottom of it, because I don't appreciate being, you know, mixed and matched that way.
No, see, John, you're doing it wrong. Usually we have them listen to us when we just say things. So all we have to do is say that...
That's true.
We can basically just be like, that wouldn't be cool. We don't have to say, like, don't do it. We just have to be uncommanding about it, because then they're, like, listening to our criticisms. And they're like, oh, yeah, let's put Skrillex on.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, let's move on from that. We'll keep you guys updated.
Never do a One Direction-themed episode.
It's going to happen, though. You know it.
Well, no, actually, I think they would have done it by now if they were going to. I think that, because I think that they've peaked One Direction. I think that it's, especially in America, I think that they've peaked. I think that
it does
this
feel
year,
like they've peaked, right.
They would have done it this year if they were going to do it, and their new album is not going to suit, like, the pop world. So, anyway, I really like the songs they did on the show when they did What Makes You Beautiful, but...
Yeah, me too. Okay, let's move on to the final news story of the night, which is a little bit crazy. Well, the first thing was that we heard that Glee may be moving the entire plot line of Glee Season 5 to New York City, which is interesting. I think a lot of people want that to happen anyway, and if they are going to be doing the spinoff potentially in New York City with just Rachel, it would be a perfect segue into that. That's one part of this whole news story. The other part of the news story, which is being reported by E! News, which I think sometimes just make things up, is that Glee is considering sending Kurt to Russia as soon as season 6. The information E! News, who is reporting that someone who has an inside look at the current brainstorming session happening at Glee says, quote, "We are mulling around the idea of moving Kurt to Russia." Earlier this season, I made a very clear point about how Blaine mentioned Russia being, anti-LGBT with their controversy with their anti-LGBT laws, and how it hadn't really happened yet if the canon of the show is to be followed correctly. And now I look at it and I'm like, I wonder if that was one little jab at, like, the whole situation in Russia. You know how Glee likes to sometimes throw us a bone several episodes or seasons in advance. Natalie, what are your thoughts about sending Kurt to Russia?
I saw this story tweeted and I literally was like, guys, it's not April Fool's Day. That was my instant thought. Too. Like, I was like, it's Halloween, not April Fool's Day. Is this like a thing we do now on Halloween? We do jokes? Because I was like, this sounds insane. Like, how is that? How could that possibly be a plot line? Like, do they just mean on a trip, or do they mean his entire story will be in Russia? Like,
okay, so like, here's what I want to say about this. Okay. There are a couple little things that might point to Kurt moving to Russia. I know, I can't believe I'm saying it either, but here we go. I reported on this on November 1st on Hypeable.com, but think about Kurt's dad, how Kurt's dad is an activist, he went to D.C., whatever. I don't know about you guys, and then Kurt's sort of trying to figure out where he belongs, you know, whatever, he's such an act, you know, he doesn't know if he wants to be a superstar, a fashion designer, whatever. And I could, you know, I foresee a plot line, and just don't get mad at me, Glee Chat fans. I could see this happening, you know, like maybe Kurt, something happens to Bert and like maybe he passes away or something. And Kurt feels so invigorated by his dad's activism that the only way that he can sort of see himself living, you know, up to the standards of his dad is to go to Russia where this anti-LGBT stuff is like happening and somehow be a ref, you know, be a leader for these people and bringing them peace and justice. I don't know. Anyway, I can just see
Glee. I cannot picture Kurt being like that, like at all.
I can't like, either, even if but I just think from a Glee standpoint.
I know. I don't know, man. Like,
it's crazy.
How would they shoot it? Like, would they actually go to, like, Russia, or would it be all indoors? Because, like, well, maybe he'd go, maybe it'd be, like, a short thing. Maybe he's, like, Sarah Jessica Parker would be going on, like, a photo shoot there, and took him, you know, as an assistant, as a short.
Is that still going on? Does he still do that with her?
Oh, apparently, I don't know.
I don't think he does since getting into Niata, right?
Well, no, he said he does, but like they don't pay, so that's why he's working at the diner. But I'm very confused. Maybe he'll go there and like maybe his band will get put in jail or something for being too gay, like you know all the other bands that are in jail in Russia. I seriously, I was just like, how is this a thing? They haven't even like traveled to like. They've never even shown the show, like, doing, like, oh, vacation. Like, why haven't we had, like, Glee Summer Vacation? I'm sorry. Why haven't we had that? Like, they have not even done that. So what the hell is this?
That's a good point. Mitch, what are your thoughts about the whole situation?
Yeah, they need to just decide what they're going to do with Glee and stick with it and not give us such random things as we're going to make everyone in New York City, Kurt's going to go to Russia, we're going to have a spinoff show, I am getting whiplash, and I just want it to be settled and just have it all figured out, because I'm honestly just sick of it. I'm not even getting caught up in it anymore.
Yeah. I don't know, it's bizarre. I don't know, we'll have to see what happens. Again, this is E! News reporting about it, which is a little more tabloidy, so... You know, there's a part of me that also wonders if Glee sort of seeded out these scenarios to these sources to see what people, how people reacted, and that then after that is when they're going to make their official, you know, official decisions. But anyways, that's pretty much it for Glee Chat tonight. Guys, do you have anything else you'd like to say before we hang it up?
Are you guys a Katie or a Gaga?
That's what I wanted to ask you. I'm so glad you brought that up. I'm 100% a Gaga. I'm not a big Katy Perry fan.
I don't really care to pick one, either or. I'm like,
Mitch, right. Well, if we had to pick, I think you're a Katy.
I don't necessarily mean like, yeah, I don't necessarily mean who you like the music of. By the way, can I just say I loved Jake in this episode. Like, besides from the whole, like plot line of, like, of Marley, like his actual plot. I loved his, like, lion and, like, being like sarcastic to Mr. Schuster and Ryder being all like Schuster's a genius like and Unique saying let me autocorrect that for you but yeah I loved Team Gaga Jake, but like your inner soul and the way that you express things, are you a Katie or a Gaga, Mitch?
Well, here's the thing. I think that there's a definition that Glee has set out for what a Katie and a Gaga is. So if we're going by that, yes, I am a Katie.
That's a good point.
If we're going in the real world, I'm neither, because I see them as both really overly provocative sexual figures. But in the Glee world, yeah, I'm more conservative of a person. I'm not, like, much more of a party animal. I'm more of a girl-next-door kind of guy. Like, that's just kind of the way I roll. Like, if you had to describe me, it'd be girl-next-door.
Mitch is the girl-next-door. That's what we're taking away from
this. Totally.
Isn't that like the Taylor Swift? Like,
I love Taylor Swift. I mean, perfect example. I mean, I went to go see her in concert twice.
I don't think Katie's the girl-next-door either. I think that Glee's definitions are whack, and I'm saying that I'm an Adam Lambert.
Yeah, no, they're whack. They're absolutely whack. I agree.
Did I talk about how everyone at one point in my life thought that I looked like Adam Lambert? Have I ever talked about that?
That's strange.
No.
I don't know if I have. Oh, my God, yeah. Whenever Adam Lambert was on American Idol, I would get text messages every Tuesday night from, like, random people. Being like, oh, my God, you look like Adam Lambert. And
that's
I'll take that. I'll take that. Yeah, I'll take it.
Maybe when he was younger, but now he's not aged very well. No, I'm joking.
He looks better now, I think, than he did.
Always looked good, but
he's cute. I like him. All right, guys, that's it for episode 68 of Hyperbole's Glee Chat. We will be back next week with a whole new episode, so everybody say goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye. Hey, Glee Chat fans, are you obsessed with baked goods and delicious holiday treats like I am? Then you need to check out Hester and Pearl, a mother-daughter home baking business from Long Island, New York. They have an amazing array of delicious baked goods that you can purchase and have delivered right to your doorstep this holiday season. And Glee Chat listeners get a special discount. Use promo code GLEECHAT at checkout now through January 1st for 15% off of your order. Head to hesterandpearl.com/shop to check out all the goodies. That's HesterandPearl. I've had the raspberry almond bars, and I'm not kidding, they're so good. I actually asked if I could promote them on Glee Chat because I want all my Glee Chat listeners to be enjoying their amazing food while they listen to us on the show. And don't forget to like them on Facebook as well at facebook.com/HesterandPearl. Da 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 da.